Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Pastor Joe Larson. Pastor Ernie, he mentioned earlier, is down with the Fauci flu, and just wanted to come on for a little while. And with me tonight is Big John Maternan. And John, after listening to that tape that Ernie wanted us to hear, I thought I'd just throw it to you. And what did you make of it?
Well, I have to be honest with you, Pastor Joe. I was distracted. Something came up. I was distracted and did not hear most of it.
Basically,
so I can talk with you. If you bring up the topic there, I can talk with you.
Yeah. Well, basically, he brought up, he was there. He was saying things are not as they seem. And he was making it more like he was saying that the Russians were doing this carefully and that they were doing surrounding coming in, that they were just going first after the military and were trying to avoid, you know, the civilians because they want to take over the country, not just destroy it. They want to capture it, was his words. But he was talking about how Zelensky and the press are, you know, kind of... He made it sound like they were conscripting the young people and the men up to 60 and throwing them into the military. And he was talking about how apparently they wanted all these casualties, mass casualties for the press, for the way it looked, so they'd get more sympathy. And he was kind of showing a totally different picture, making Ukraine look a lot more evil and wicked than you're seeing in the press. And I found some of the things he said true, but others, this tape, he made it the night of the 26th, the third day of the invasion. And I think things have really changed. From what I'm seeing is today the Russians are starting to really up their game. They are starting with bigger bombs. In fact, the foreign press are talking about their... dropping these cluster bombs that are against the Geneva Convention, that they're really unleashing air power blitz, and things are getting a lot more violent and attacking more and more people. I think what, in my opinion, Putin did not think that the world was going to react the way it did, and I think he was caught off guard. I don't know so much his advisors, military, but I think he underestimated the world's reaction. I'm looking at articles, the Swiss banks today. I guess this is a place that most of the Russian oligarchs put their money. And they decided today they would freeze Russian financial assets. This is something they've been a neutral country forever. They are joined with the European Union and are going to penalize Russia. I think when Putin said he might have to use nukes if anybody interfered or he started threatening, you know, this, quote, response, a real horrible response, I think the world sat up and took notice. Germany is running in, has given the okay to all the countries that have German military equipment that they can now give any of that equipment they want to Ukraine. Berlin itself is going to send all kind of 1,000 anti-tank weapons, 500 Stinger anti-aircraft defense out of their own arsenal, and granted approval for the Netherlands and Estonia to ship their own German-originated weapons to aid Ukraine. This is something that's never happened in my memory. Germany sending its own weapons and actually authorizing other countries. They've always said, if we give you weapons, you can only use them when we give you authority, has been the German rule. And today they went against all of that, and they say Russian attack made a turning point, and they are going to up their donation to the United, to the NATO forces. They are sending this equipment, paying for its shipping, and authorizing those other countries to give anything they want. This is earth-shaking news. I've never seen the world react this way, and I think it's caught everybody, including Putin, off guard. What do you think?
Well, I virtually every word you said, I agree with 100%. The thing that I learned about, now I was following this, what was going on in the Ukraine, kind of from a distance. I was following it regularly, but not getting deep into it until the war started. And I found out about Zelensky, and what I found out about him is not good. He basically is handpicked by Soros, and he was brought along by one of Soros' top aides there, the money for him to get going, his starting and acting and all. And then today, Brother Joe, I heard a minister, not a gospel minister, but a political minister.
In
Ukraine, she said that they're doing this for the Ukraine women, for the Ukraine citizens, they're standing, and for the New World Order. And then Soros came out today, and he said the United States has to do everything it can to protect Ukraine. So there's a side of this that I really, really, Pastor Joe, I mean, it is not good when we see the New World Order deep, deep behind Ukraine. So the way I look at it now, when you take the New World Order, I look at this as going back 80 years ago, 85 years ago, as Hitler and Stalin. Pick your poison. Now, I've got nothing against the Ukrainian people, because the New World Order is really just exposing itself now. It's been subtle, behind the scenes for years. They're more or less out in the open now. And when I see them backing the Ukraine like this, I got to take pause. It's not good. So I don't think we have any beef with the Ukrainian people, but it's the puppets behind the scenes that there's something really big going on here, Pastor Joe.
That's what I was thinking. There is so much more happening that I think is coming out. I think, and when you're right, they've been pushing for this one world order, and Putin was trying to do, he wants to reconstitute the old Soviet Union. I mean, he's come out and said so. I don't think that's a false narrative. And I think the powers that be, pushing the one world order, saw this as a way to unite the world, to come together, to work together, and would help them promote the one world order that Soros wants, dearly wants, and some of the other, great leaders want. And having a crisis like this, don't let a good crisis go to waste. I think the big players are taking advantage of the power play between Ukraine and Russia. And this is a way to unite Europe and bring it. Even Finland came in now, and Sweden, and countries like that that have always been neutral are giving up their neutrality and coming out against the Russians. And I think everybody's reacting to the fear of nuclear weapons. And I think the world's using that to help bring about the one world order. So I think the end result is bad for freedom in the world, although it looks like the world's uniting to fight for freedom. In the long run, it will be losing freedom. That sounds crazy, but that's how I see it.
Well, the way I see it also is we went through a medical crisis here with, and I know what I've shared many things on Pastor Ernie's show, and he shared them, and I'm sure you did,
right.
That was not legit. I mean, the way it started was not legit. The overblown reaction was not legit. The shots, the death shots, were not legitimate.
Well, even the deaths reported, we did those stories about somebody was shot got to the hospital. They called it a death by COVID because the person right. tested for COVID but died from a bullet to the right. brain and all this. So we know that there was all this lies and deceit. Whenever you have to have lies, deceit, and put out the narrative, the false propaganda, you've got to look to see what's really behind what's
exactly.
going on.
Exactly.
And it was nothing but a power play to give the government
yes.
power.
Exactly right. Well, plus depopulation. There were several
right.
things going on.
Right, several
so
things.
So the reason I brought this up was we have just seen this. This was on a worldwide basis. In fact, we're still, I mean, what took place here, what they tried to do here in Canada, we've just seen this, you know, not too long ago, 2 weeks ago in Canada. We've seen Australia.
Australia.
And then mm-hmm. Great Britain, we've seen it in many, many countries. So with that background, now what I believe is going to happen, now Putin has been identified as the bad guy. Putin has threatened nuclear weapons. I mean, and he is a bad guy politically. Anybody that gets near him or any opposition that gets near him, I kind of invented a new word, Pastor Joe, I call it Putin's side. Here we have Arkansas,
yeah.
and there they have Putin's side.
Mm-hmm.
And then he supports the enemies of Israel, Iran, big time, Syria, Hezbollah, and all that. So he's a bad
right.
guy.
Right.
But
no
this is a perfect that. Opportunity, Pastor Joe. This is a perfect opportunity for unlimited amount of false flags to blame on Putin. Everything that we just went through for the last 2 years and all, I mean, one kind of false flag after another, after suppressing the truth, suppressing the cures. So now they, Klaus Schwab has been talking about, and Gates for that matter, they've been talking about terrorists attacking the electric grid. And the internet coming down. Well, when they start talking like that, I take notice and I listen.
Yeah.
Why are you running? It's like, well, they started to do that just before COVID-19.
We were warning that kind of thing 30 years ago, saying, you guys, we haven't hardened our electric grids. We haven't protected different things. And the interesting thing is they have always left that stuff open. All these years, all the different parties, all the different people in power, they talk about it. They've had meetings about it, investigations on it. And, you know, they didn't take any action. That tells me that they almost wanted to have that vulnerability or they would have fixed it.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So based on what Klaus Schwab has been saying, and Gates has been talking about a worse pandemic coming, and he's also talking about smallpox.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about smallpox. So I'm putting this all together, and I'm looking at it, and I think that this situation building, and real soon, building in the Ukraine with Russia, the war, the Europe, uniting sort of against the Russians now is a perfect opportunity for them to pull down the electric grid and say that it was
the Russians. Yeah. Well, I'm also looking at what else is going on. Remember the People's Convoy, the Patriot Convoy that started going across the country. All of a sudden, for, you know, days, we haven't heard a thing. Now, tomorrow, 1st of March, that convoy is going to be in Sullivan, Missouri. But you wouldn't have known it by listening to most of the news channels. The 4th of March, they're going to be there in Cambridge, Ohio. But unless people go to the website and look at the schedule, get the news off of there, it's like there's a news blackout on the convoy. Meantime, Biden's, of course, putting up fences around the people's house. And yet we know these people in the convoy, they want to do this peacefully, patriotically, like in Canada. They tell people no violence. We're not going to go and, you know, break a lot of laws or cause real trouble. We're trying to get attention. So what it is they're overshadowing that. Stories like right now, the U.S. border war. There's a Mexican lawsuit. Do you know about that against the U.S. gun manufacturers?
Yes, and I am aware.
Scary thing. Okay, so Mexico is suing. I thought, well, maybe you might want to explain it, is suing the U.S., but what most people don't know is now 13 states, liberal states like Massachusetts, California, New York, the District of Columbia, are joining Mexico in going after U.S. gun manufacturers like Smith & Wesson, Barrett Firearms, Ruger, Colt, and Glock, and those are the main ones that I know of. This is the first time I've ever heard a foreign nation is suing our gun manufacturers for our loose border security, but it's the criminal cartels. It's the guns the cartels are smuggling into Mexico that they're buying. They're trying to sue our gun manufacturers because our government won't close the border, and their cartels own the borders, so they're putting immigrants and drugs one way, taking guns the other way. They're running the border, but Mexico's going to sue our gun manufacturers, and they have the help of all these wacky liberal who want governors and states that want to get rid of our Second Amendment. This is insanity. It's stupidity. It's idiocy, but it's evil, isn't it?
Well, Pastor Joe, what it is, it's really not stupidity. It's a concerted effort to destroy everything about America, the First Amendment, the Second Amendment. I mean, to turn the criminals loose in our cities. This is all done by the New World Order. So many of these mayors and a couple of the governors, so many of the mayors and the district attorneys, attorney generals, have been put in office by money from the New World Order, from Soros in particular. So it's a nationwide effort to destroy us. Having the borders open like they're doing, this is one of the plans, one of the ways they want to destroy us. They
right.
want to completely overrun us at the cities. Then allowing the terrorist groups, allowing Black Lives Matter, allowing Antifa to run loose. And so many of the cities and the damage they did, billions and billions of dollars, they burnt sections of Washington down. That big church, it's not a big church, it's the church across from the White House. They burnt that.
That's a historical church, yeah.
Yeah. So there is no end. How about stopping the pipeline? That pipeline there, and then it made us, we went from oil, supplying it to the world, to now we got to import it. And where are we getting it from? A lot of it's from Russia. And yet, and the list goes on and on and on of what Biden did. This is all planned, Joe.
Yeah,
this is all planned to systematically destroy the United States.
Well, the Democrats love what? Power. The one thing they love is power. We saw from the last election with Trump, they will do anything to regain their power, and they see their power base slipping. So, well, one example, one of the headlines February 28th. From Bob Unruh there at World News Daily, confirmed 200,000 ballots from 2020 counted as mismatched signatures. In Maricopa County, Arizona, officials now admitted that there were, you know, these thousands of ballots counted with mismatched signatures that weren't reviewed. And they come up with the number was closer to 200,000. That was a study of the county's mail ballots that year commissioned by the Arizona State Senate. And this was a report out from Just the News. and they're claiming about 200,000 of these ballots were mismatched, which means they should have been thrown out. And then, of course, they talk about all the other things that you and I have talked about on the radio, about the mail-in ballots and Mark Zuckerberg's $20-40 million that went to recruit Democrat voters from heavily Democratic districts, all these different things that were going on. And so we see, but again, this is out of the news. Nobody's talking about the election fraud that put Biden in power. Nobody's talking about this lawsuit where we have a foreign nation suing our gun manufacturers. We could lose if these gun manufacturers go out of business. That does not help the Second Amendment, does it? If you can't buy a gun because the suits have put these big manufacturers out of business, that's going to scare away other people to make bullets and everything else. I see that as a threat. And you're saying they're trying to repopulate these cities with what? Democrat voters. All these illegals that cross the border don't mind breaking the law. They're coming here now all over the world, different races, 144 countries. And the first thing they do is end up, they get free education, free health care, and they get all these benefits. They go on welfare. We're paying for it. Who are they going to vote for? The people that let and invited them in, right? So we're going to change the voting in key areas all across the nation. So everything that's going on, you were saying, it's planned, and it's attack against our constitutional republic.
Yes, it is. This is planned, and they are evil geniuses. They really are. They've thought this out and executing it, and they have their people in positions now. And everywhere, they have them in politics. They have them in, they own the Democrat Party. They have them in medical. Look at the medical institutions that are literally under the control of these people. I mean, we see them. Oh, they're out obvious now. Pharmaceuticals are owned by them. So the education system, there's a whole bunch in the educational system that agree with it. I don't know if they're owned by them, but they agree with it. Well, so yeah, they have a real stranglehold. It's not only on us. I mean, they've got this throughout the world. All that conspiracy stuff. You know, years ago, I took heat for being a conspiracy. Said I was a conspiracy.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Yeah, it's here now, Brother Joe. It's here. It's out in the open. Here it is.
All over the world, the liberals are in charge of education in most of the civilized nations, and they're dumbing down the children in most places, but more than dumbing them down, they're programming them to be good little servants to the government. This is the rule number one, is teaching them obedience to the government. We're seeing the destruction of the middle class. And I've been watching the business news, and with all this stuff going on, the ones that have survived the pandemic were what? The big multinational corporations, Walmart and these other big companies, because they could take and hire private smaller ships to get around the mess at the harbors. They could fly things in. And if you're a small business, all of a sudden, now all these problems, if you're a businessman, wouldn't it be a lot easier to deal with this great big huge company that you can just give your order to, know that the order is going to be fulfilled, knowing it's going to be shipped? You can work with one or two large entities instead of maybe 200 or 300 small, medium businesses that you've got to work with. Oh, that's way more work, more complications. So what we're seeing is the smaller businesses going by the wayside, especially those middle-sized corporations, all losing out to big business, big pharma, the military-industrial complex. What it is a takeover of these giant organizations that will end up ruling the world because they have the power, and as they work back and forth with each other, they destroy what? The little guy. Do you see anything wrong there?
Well, that is that's the trend. The trend is for Brother Joe, what this reminds me of is I liked the James Bond movies, a couple of them I liked. And James Bond was always going after Spectre, which was this world corporation.
Right.
It wasn't like the Russian. Well, some of them he was after the Russians, but there was Spectre, and it was this world corporation that was trying to take over. And Ian Fleming, he wrote the books, the James Bond series they made the movies from. During World War II, he was a head of British naval intelligence. And he was right in the middle there of knowing everything behind the scenes going on in Great Britain. And those books that he wrote, of course, they were fiction, but there was a lot of truth behind them, Brother Joe.
Yep,
Ian Fleming was kind of tipping us off. If you understand, he was the head of naval intelligence, and he was running. He was head to head, or eyeball to eyeball, with the New World Order as it existed then. Now, of course, it was nothing then compared to what it is now. So he saw this world corporation, the tentacles of it and all, and that's where the James Bond, not all of them, but quite a few of the James Bond movies came from. He called it Spectre, and I forget it's an acronym. I forget what it stands for. So that, and the New World Order, really, as I've studied it, I kind of trace it back to the late 1800s. And are you familiar with Cecil Rhodes?
Yes, very much.
Yeah. Yeah, he seemed to be the catalyst in it for the New World Order we know now. And then you got the big industrialists with him. You had like the Rockefellers here. And the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller, and the Rockefeller Foundation, and then the Rothschilds.
And they all that was the Council of Rome, and all the other things fell into place,
down the road. And then, World War One. The Fabian Society, there was all sorts of things gelling, but Cecil Rhodes seemed to be the catalyst for it. And then you come to World War One, and there's a good argument to be made about, they called it I won't even get into that, but what I want to bring into, right after World War One, you had the League of Nations.
Mm-hmm.
And our Senate was smart enough back then to see we'd have no part of it.
Right.
We'd have no part of it. And it really didn't have much power, much teeth until after World War II. Then we had the United Nations, and who was the one that put the money in for it and the land in New York City? But Rockefeller.
Right.
Rockefeller.
Yeah. And who
so
got
it was
benefit?
Like World War II through gasoline on the New World Order. And then in 1973 was a huge year when the Trilateral Commission came to be with Henry Kissinger. And that Leonid Zabrinsky and David Rockefeller, that's when this thing here really, really, they focused on technology.
Right. Well, then you had the Council on Foreign Relations, and again, there were several other
organizations. Well, that's been for a long time. The Council on Foreign Relations goes back to the 1920s.
Yeah, but what I mean is there's a whole list of these things in there. I was just trying to... We're going to have a break here in just about a minute. We're going to go to a song, but why don't you finish up and kind of bring us in, because this has been a long time in the making, hasn't it?
It sure has.
I was just thinking all those different groups and too many times.
Oh, I thought you were going to, I thought you were going
we
to
had
the storm.
1 minute. Yeah, you had 1 minute.
Okay.
Probably
40
seconds.
Now you've got like Davos. Like Davos, and you got Klaus Schwab behind it. This is, and the technology is allowing them to gain control like they never could. Now it's there, right in their lap, this advanced technology, and that's what they're going to use against us.
Exactly. They'll use the all this technology from the pharmaceuticals, businesses, how we shop, our banking, our money. And hang on, folks, we're coming up. We're going to have a short break. And right after this break, we're going to be back with a whole lot more. So stay tuned.
Feels so fine, this new age church of mine. The service is laid back. But still I know you reap what's sowed, and I can't stop thinking about all of that. Well, I remember when God was praised, but that's not what the new age church is for. Truth is fine, but it's long gone. The gospel's truth, but it ain't wanted anymore. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died. And he has risen on high. And if you're lost, then you had better know why. Believe him only still. Did you ever read about a child who seemed to be a king? And he became one. Well, he's coming back to judge the world, and he and the Father are still the very same one. But I've had a fearfulness deep inside, and I've cried because I'm so afraid to know. And I'm not a man the kind to be scared. Will I go to heaven, or as I fear, below? I am, he said. You had better care. Is it a judgment for all? You will be there. I am, he died. He is risen on high. If you're lost, then you had better know why. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died. He is risen.
Welcome back. You're listening to What's Right, What's Left Radio Ministry, the voice of the Christian resistance. This is Pastor Ernie, and helping sit in with Big John Maternan for Pastor Ernie, who's got COVID, and we would just ask that you keep him in prayer as he gets healthy. John, we were just talking about how this all is kind of coming together in a one-world pattern and expanding to trying to get people's minds not to make them afraid, but to see the picture. And I want to remind everybody, God put us here for a time like this. He brings victory in his own time, in his own way, but he brings it when the people are obedient to him. And this is America's great failure right now, is that we have not been listening to God. We have not been obedient to God. And God has said, if we turn from our wicked ways, if we repent and start obeying him, He can heal the land. He can change everything, can he?
He can, Joe, and I'm glad you brought that up because I was thinking exactly along the lines that you just spoke. This is bleak, folks, but there's always hope when the church repents and cries out to God for mercy. We have to face the fact that we are a very wicked nation, and we're doing the very sins that God listed in his Bible that he'll destroy nations for.
Yeah. People don't want to hear that. They don't want to believe it. But yet, that is the key thing. All through Scripture, when God waited till, you know, the people tried everything they could in their own way, and then when they turned to him, it looked like it was hopeless, and he would bring a victory to his people, but that way everybody knew it was his victory. And I think it's one of those, he wants us, yes, to fight the good fight, but when we talk about that, we don't mean run out and grab a rifle. We're going to run to that physical battle, but this underneath everything is a spiritual battle of good or evil. It's the forces of the Antichrist against Christ and his followers, his church. And it's the same way Joel battle. It hasn't changed. It's just gotten more complicated, right?
Exactly. And so, folks, in one sense, we have a great advantage because this behind-the-scenes force that you had to know where to look to see is now out in the open. It's making its move to take over, and to do that, it had to manifest itself. So we see it now, and our job is to stand in the name of Jesus and to intercede for the nation. And one of the things we have to face is the sin. The sin, God literally judges nations for the sins that we look at as rights now. We must do that. We must have repentance. And then when there's repentance and we cry out to the Lord, he hears our prayers. So we don't have a choice, folks. We don't have a choice. It's black and white. It's right in front of us. If we do nothing and ignore it, Joe, we face terrible judgment, Brother Joe. If we stand in the name of Jesus, there's great hope. There's great hope.
Yes. And not just for the here and now, but especially for, you know, eternal life. I was just thinking in Luke, it's Luke 11. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. When it said blessed, that is a good thing because God has given us an opportunity to, what, lay up some crowns and treasures in heaven. I've often said on the radio, it's you can't win a trophy at football or basketball if you aren't out there playing in the game. And too often the church hasn't gotten involved in the battle, and I use a metaphor of a sports game. You have to have a team on the field to win trophies to have victories, right? Well, we can't
exactly
lay up crowns and treasures in heaven without something to do, go do for the Lord. And he's, look at all the words. I remember one night I tried to write them all down, all the different action words. See, you know, what do you think? He says to pray, to testify, to witness, to preach, to exhort, to storm the gates of hell, to run to the battle, to stand in the gap, to fight the fight, to save those that are being led to slaughter, to reprove the wrong, you know, what's wrong, what's evil, and if that doesn't work, rebuke, to visit the sick, to feed the hungry, to love your neighbor, to, you know, always, he says, what? Obey me. Be a doer of the word. Be a doer of the work. Be a doer of the law. That sounds like a lot of action words, and somehow some of these pastors out there I listen to, their preaching is so passive. And yet, these are Jesus' words. Every one of them is a very highly active action verb, correct?
Brother Joe, that was excellent. I was listening to that, and it was very, very exhorting what you said. Yeah, Christianity is not passive, folks. The real faith the real church, faith.
Yeah.
Right. Like the Bible says, be ready to preach both in season and out. You know, we're ready to share be ready to share the gospel with anyone that asks you for the reason or the hope that lies within you. So this is what God wants, folks. And if the church stirs and responds, we can win this and win this until Christ comes for us and we go to be with him, because we know from the Bible, Brother Joe, that Satan is going to have his day on earth. It's for a short period of time.
Right.
The whole world will be under the wickedness of him, and then it's destroyed at the second coming of Jesus Christ. So, yes, wickedness we know, but Christ is coming for his bride. That's us.
Right.
And it's called the Blessed Hope, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We could stand now and get victory till he comes for us. And the good thing, Brother Joe, is that when Christ returns, like we talked about, and he's going to destroy the evil on the earth, the Bible says we return with him. And the Lord thy God shall come, and all the saints with him.
Right.
So we're going to return with him when he comes. That's our future. But right now we have a job to do, and not to cower in front of evil. But we know what the word says, and the word says to stand. Doing all that you can do, stand. Therefore, stand in the name of Jesus.
Stand. I don't know if I put that word in there. That was, you know, I think I missed
the
word
Ephesians.
Stand.
Ephesians. Ephesians, yeah. And then another one.
I had a few minutes before a show I had to do for Ernie.
Yeah, Pastor Joe, add this too. Expose the works of darkness. That's another one
that's
in Ephesians.
Right.
Expose
yeah.
the works of. That's what we're doing tonight. I didn't realize that till now. What we're doing, and what Pastor Ernie does on this show, I mean, all the time, is we are literally exposing the works of darkness. We're bringing
That's
it to
the
light.
That's what the watchman does, right? The watchman on the wall is exposing what? The darkness, the evil, the dangers, whatever form they're coming in. And you're exactly right. That's what we're doing. I want to throw in something for humor, because occasionally, folks, our enemy isn't as fearful as it sounds. Today I saw the new FEMA guidelines came up, guidance, you know, with all this threat of nuclear war, the Russians threatening to use nuclear weapons. FEMA came out with guidance. Now, John, get this. They said be sure and keep your 6 foot apart and wear your mask in case of a nuclear attack.
Yeah,
when,
6 feet apart, right?
When you run to your bomb shelter, make sure you have your COVID mask and you're 6 feet apart, and don't worry about the horrible explosion, the ball of fire, the radiation, the heat, the lack of, you know. But it says, quote, my wife wrote this down for me. I was doing something else. Many people already feel fear and anxiety about the coronavirus. The threat of a nuclear explosion can add additional stress. So just concentrate on following the guidance. I remember at school, they used to have nuclear, in case of attack, they had you sit at your desk or crawl under the desk, put your head down, and they're going, how stupid. I saw the pictures of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The humor here, the stupidity of these people putting this out. Yeah, when you're crawling into a bomb shelter, make sure you're 6 feet apart. How many bomb shelters do we have anymore?
Yeah, I'm just going to ask you that, Pastor Joe. I really don't know of a bomb shelter anywhere around where I live.
We have storm shelters in every small town in rural Missouri because of tornadoes, where people that don't have basements or a safe place, especially the people in the small towns, there's usually a shelter in one of the schools or a community center. They've got a basement that's set up with water and whatever. but they're not exactly bomb shelters, but they're the closest thing to them. But do realize over in Ukraine, they were putting the people in subways and telling them to go into bomb shelters. So, but subway, I don't think I'd want to be underground in a subway when there are big bombs hitting above, collapsing. I don't just, oh, it's one of those dumb things, but 6 feet apart, folks, be sure and wear your mask if we have a war. These are the people that are in charge if we have a national disaster. So I would put my faith and trust in God, not FEMA. I just had to throw that in. I don't think I've heard anything so absurd in a long time, and I've heard a lot of absurd things from our government.
Yeah. They're silly. I mean, the silliness comes out constantly with these people, constantly.
I think they have too much time. I'm sorry, go ahead.
We're going to see mighty things happening now, Pastor Joe, as this all unfolds. I don't see Putin all of a sudden saying, well, you know, this invasion of Ukraine was wrong, I'm going back home. I don't see him saying that. And the more intense it gets in the Ukraine, the more I think the world is going to harden against him. And in the end, Brother Joe, what I heard Putin say basically is that the West is trying to destroy us. So if we cannot defend ourselves, then he's going to take everybody out. He said that it would come so fast on the West. And this is the exact words he used. They would not be able to repent. They use the word repent.
Yeah. This is what's finally woken the world up to, I think. One good thing is they realize there really is evil in the world, and a lot of people have woken up to that not all the leaders are sane or see things the way. I think we need to ask the people out there to just be, this is the kind of thing where Lord wants his people to be in prayer, and be praying for the innocents, not the evil leaders that are behind things, but that God would save especially they were talking about a lot of the underground groups who are in churches and groups of people praying, and that just keep it up all over the world for the Lord to help protect the innocent and cover them, and that see that... you know, it doesn't get too far out of line. Like you said, if we obey him and do, we can kind of put a halt to things for a long time till he comes. But if we don't pray, if we don't do what he asks us to, we could be in a rather unpleasant time, couldn't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there, God lays it out. It's right there in the Word. And you mentioned it earlier about repentance and what God will do when we repent. Yeah, he will heal our land, the scripture says. But we have to face the fact of sin. We've got to. And the very things we're doing right now, is sin-wise, are the very things that God judged ancient Israel for and drove them off the land, and the very things he destroyed other nations for, too, that open, blatant, primarily sexual sin, killing the children. They sacrificed them to Moloch, the pagan gods, and today we are killing them in the womb by the, I don't know what the number is. You know, it's 70 million you hear officially. We don't know how many have been killed.
Around and I wanted the world, to say, it's huge.
Yeah, yeah. How much time do we have left?
We just have about 4.5 minutes. 4 minutes. So, would you like to do the invitation tonight, or do you want me to?
That's fine. I'll do it if you want me to.
Well, let me give you a setup. I'm going to read three verses, and you take it from there, because you were talking about the problem with our country and the world is sin.
Yes.
1 Peter 2, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Then in 2 Corinthians, it says in chapter 5, for he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, in or through Jesus. And finally, Romans 3, verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through his through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. You've got 3 minutes to finish this up.
Yeah, well, the one that really stood out to me was in 2 Corinthians 5, where there was a trade made. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He was the sinless, only begotten Son of God. And that the penalty to have eternal life with God, the penalty for sin, which is death, must be paid for. So he paid the price for it on the cross and shed his blood to pay the complete penalty for our sin. And what happens then is he literally, as the scriptures said that Brother Joe read, took sin. He became sin for us. And then he was righteous. He didn't commit one sin. That righteousness is imparted into us. We receive Christ's righteousness. So that's the offer I want to give now, is that if you are willing to repent of sin, that's the turnaround from a life without Christ and living in sin to a life following Christ and his word, and confess him. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That God will take all your sins, every single one of them, upon Jesus Christ, and then his righteousness will be placed upon you, and you will have assurance of eternal life. So that's the two things, well, about Christ dying on the cross. And that's the first one. The other one is he bodily rose from the dead. The gospel is how Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised the third day, according to the scriptures. So if anyone now will confess Jesus Christ, repent of sin, confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guaranteed, based on the word of God, he will hear you, forgive your sin, grant you eternal life, and now you become a disciple in his word and prayer. That's part of repentance, following Jesus Christ. I don't care what your background is. There is no hindrance with your background. You'd be the worst sinner in the world. As long as you're willing to repent, God will receive you and confess Christ. He will receive you into his heaven.
Amen,
God bless
brother.
Everybody.
You've
and
got
we'll...
it. We've yes, got to cut well, you short there. That's the
yes,
secret
okay,
to the whole
ahead.
Thing. And folks, we're in the time to say good night, God bless, and always, always, always keep.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.